Right as they leave today, aren't they? Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. Great to see you today. If you'd like to turn up to Proverbs 5, we'll also look at the second half of chapter 6 and chapter 7, and it's all going to be mushed together. Mushed. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have in having your word open before us. Father, we ask that you would give us insight into ourselves as we see life reflected in your word. Open our minds to the wonderful truths of the scriptures which speak truth into the world. And help us to understand ourselves in such a way that we travel the wise path through the changes and the challenges of life. Please guide me, help me to speak what is true, and give us understanding, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we come to one of the central and tragically, one of the very real and practical parts of the book of Proverbs. The title I've given today is Adultery, Sex and the Art of Listening. And as we come to these chapters, you probably notice that it's the address of a father to a son. That is, it's a man giving his son advice about relationships and particularly about the adulteress. In other words, it's taken from a male perspective. And I'm fully aware that this whole thing can be turned around. It could be the words of a mother to a daughter about an adulterer. And so, ladies, I'll have to get you to do the kind of switcheroo in your head as we work through these passages. I'm also aware that this morning that we are at different ages and stages of life. Some are single, some are married, some are younger, some are older. But it still remains a truth that, at least at the sort of raw physical level, very few men are immune from the sorts of temptations that these chapters speak about. And not a few women are also open to these temptations. But we'll see towards the end of the talk that really it involves everyone, no matter who we are, no matter what our circumstances. And the big message, going back a step, I'm focusing also on men, and I'm going to speak primarily to men today, because of the way men's sexuality works. Men's sexuality works differently to women's sexuality. And so I'm speaking first to the women, to the men, but ladies, I'd like you to kind of work out how it will work for you also. And the big message of these chapters is to listen. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight. Down in verse 7. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Here is the big appeal of these chapters. Listen to the word of wisdom. Listen to your father as he gives you these words of wisdom. In our case, the father of the book of Proverbs. But if you don't find that incentive enough, then listen, because they are the words of your heavenly father, your God, to you. Listen to these words. Why? Because they will protect you. They will guard you. They will guide you. They will light your way. And when I talk about protecting you and guarding you, in particular here, They will guard you from the strange woman. In chapter 5, verse 3. For the lips of the adulteress, and literally it is the word strange woman, the adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. Some versions have the word forbidden woman there. The NIV has gone for adulteress, and certainly in the context of these three chapters, it is a married woman committing adultery that is primarily on view. But the word is actually the strange woman, and there is an ominousness about this woman. An ominousness because she is dangerous, and because of the consequences of following her way and her invitation. Who is she? Well, she is the seductress. In chapter 5, verse 3, again, for the lips of the adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. Chapter 6, verse 24, keeping you, these words of wisdom, are keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife. But it's most clearly seen in chapter 7, where he spends some time unfolding the image of this woman and her seductive ways. Let's read it again. Chapter 7, verse 13. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, "I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I have fulfilled my vows. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. I have covered my bed with coloured linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon." There are the words of the seductress, and they're inviting words. They are delicious words. They are enticing words. They're exciting. It's sweet. It's smooth. They're reassuring words. They're persuasive words that promise love and delight. This strange woman promises much, but she does not know her own way. Chapter 5, verse 6, she says she gives no thought to the way of her of life. Her paths are crooked, but she knows it not. Here she is. Here is a woman who is doing what she enjoys doing, fulfilling her own delights and wishes, and she doesn't understand that what she's doing as she entices these men in is wrong. In fact, she doesn't even think about it. And so the father says to us, to his son, stay away from her. Chapter 5, verse 8, keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Now, why are we not to do that? Well, there are six reasons. Let me try and gather them together very quickly. Firstly, in chapter 5, verse 9, it involves, if you follow her, you're giving your strength to others. You give your manly vitality, perhaps your virility, your strength away to others. And more than that, you give away your honour to others. It's taken away from you forever if you go in with the adulteress. And those others who take what you have are merciless. Secondly, you'll only burn yourself in chapter 6, verse 27. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. You're playing with fire. You will get burned. You don't believe you'll get burned. It's too exciting at the moment. But burn you will. A thief steals. If a thief steals because he's desperately hungry, then we will forgive him for that. Though if he's caught, he will be punished. But the jealous husband, well, he is merciless. In chapter 6, verse 34, jealousy arouses a husband's fury, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse the bribe, however great it is. You will find no forgiveness with this man. He will get his revenge on you. You are destroying yourself if you go down this path. Thirdly, do you think that somehow this can all go on without anybody knowing? Well, even if you keep it secret for a little while, don't forget that in the end, the Lord himself knows. Chapter 5, verse 21. For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord. And he examines all his paths. He sees everything. Those hidden moments, those thoughts, all our actions are before him. And more than that, you just tangle yourself. You trap yourself in chapter 5, verse 22. The evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. The image here seems to be a little bit like the addict who believes all the time that at any point he can be free of this. He can say no, when in fact he is completely trapped. And so it is with those who go into the path of adultery. And they're trapped in judgment because you see its end, fifthly, is death. This person destroys himself, verse 23. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. The person who goes down this track, the man who follows this path of adultery, or the woman, destroys themselves and brings themselves to utter ruin. Chapter 5, verse 14. I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly. You need to know that on that last day, when judgment falls, it will fall not just privately in a secluded room away from the gaze of others. We fall before the whole assembly. It's been a bit of a tragic week in terms of Australia's gold medal haul, hasn't it? And one of the things that's come back this week, and it's been a matter of controversy, has been the words that have been spoken before not being matched by performance on the day, for whatever reason. How dreadful it is when words come back to haunt us, not just privately, but before everyone. What shame covers us. It's no wonder that that's the kind of image that the Bible uses of judgment, of calling on the hills to cover us. Such is the shame of it all. And so, sixthly, your life will end in a lament at the great loss and ruin you have brought upon yourself. Look with me at chapter 5, verse 11. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, how I hated discipline. How my heart spurned correction. I would not listen to obey my teachers or listen to my instructors. I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly. I wonder if you've experienced a lament like that in your heart over some other matter already. What a terrible day that will be. Well, listen. Listen to the words of the wise. Listen to the words of your heavenly Father. Keep far from her. For you see, this trap of wandering into this adultery is a trap for the simple. Chapter 7 paints this picture in a darkly glorious kind of way. It paints the picture so vividly of this simple young man, this foolish man. In chapter 7, verse 7, who lacks judgment, going down the street on the edge of darkness. Of course, you don't have to be young to be foolish. You can be foolish as an old person too. It doesn't have to be the young. But this young man, and the young are typically foolish, this young man, at the end of the day, darkness is coming in. And he's looking for trouble. Chapter 7, verse 8, he was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. There is an appetite there. He is going exactly where he wants to go. He's heading in her direction. If I can speak to the blokes a bit about pornography. Pornography works that way. It really does. It's an addiction, whether it be the computer, whether it be on the television or in some other source. The computer, you just somehow automatically go back to that website, whatever it may be. Or your channels, your remote control goes to the channels where you know something might be found. It's almost instinctive. We head for the trouble. And there is impulsive submission. She seduces him. We've read that little section in chapter 7 already. She seduces him. And then we read in verse 22, all at once he followed her. It's almost like a great avalanche occurs. All reason is thrown out the door. And he is given immediately to his impulses. And he throws in his lot with her. But he goes only to death. Verse 22. All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. And so the warning comes again. In verse 24, listen. Do you see the disaster that will befall this foolish man? Listen to these words of wisdom. Many are the victims in verse 26. She has brought down, her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Then I want to ask you, where does your temptation come? Because it comes to all men. How does it come to you? Is it through the computer or the TV? Is it in some social settings? Is it amongst certain friends? Is it at work? Is someone there with whom you just seem to have a chemistry? Is it a chance meeting? You might meet a woman who somehow seems so willing, so attracted to you. You just seem to click. Hear the words of this book. Listen. Don't be captured by her. Steer away from her. So far from her, stay away so that you will not go down that path, lest you destroy yourself. Quite a number of years ago now, there was a young lady in the same church I was involved in, and she was a young, single, attractive lady, and she met a man. I'm not sure exactly what the circumstances were. He was a married man and had two young children. I don't know whether it was she fluttered her eyelids at him or whether it was he who took the first step, but she went for it, knowing he was married, knowing that he had two small children. And that man left his wife and his children and took off with this girl. They married. But I wonder what the story will be when their children ask them, "How did you guys meet?" What shame fills their lives. Don't go down that path. Instead, enjoy your wife. Chapter 5, verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Verse 17. Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. Here is a certain area of life where it is right to be completely self-centered. That is, to serve yourself by enjoying only your wife. We're told in the marriage service that in marriage you give yourself to each other for the proper expression of instincts and affections with which God has endowed us, and he has. That's why you're married. And your husband, your wife, is the one through whom you are to have that joy. And as you enjoy your wife, men, as you enjoy your husband, wives, you have the benefit of your own strength, your own virility. In verse 18, he says, "May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth." I think he means the fountain here is his wife, who brings the rich blessing and joy of children into your life. And the image becomes very erotic. In verse 19, a loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breasts satisfy you always. May you be captivated by her love. He understands what men are like and what sexuality is like. It's real, isn't it? This is true to life. This is, the Bible is true to life. If you've never read much of Song of Songs and you want to see more of this kind of beautiful language of sex considered rightly, then you can go there. Because sex is God's invention. It's good. It's to be enjoyed. And we are made to enjoy each other within a married relationship. He says, be captivated, the end of verse 19, by her love. I want you to notice he doesn't say be captivated by her body. Our bodies change as the years go on. And sometimes as men we see other bodies that look more attractive. No, he says, be captivated by her love. She loves you. She's committed herself to you. She is walking the path of life with you. She's thrown in her lot with you. Be captivated by her love. Why be captivated by another man's life? Wife, I should say. And so men and women who are married, I want you to make sure that your sex life is healthy and joyful, that it's exciting and mutually delightful and satisfying. Men and women are different when it comes to sexual matters. We're built differently, our minds think differently. In a particular sort of way, a wife needs to look after her husband, but husbands need to care also for their wives in this. Turn, leave your hand in Proverbs there and just turn up to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Someone yell out a page number. 809 or 8010? 810. 1 Corinthians 7, picking it up at verse 2. But since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So make your sex life, if you're a married person, joyful and good. And make sure that it's more than just sex. Make sure it's also about love. Make sure that she delights in your love. Well, we've been taking so far these passages as fairly straightforward words about physical adultery and the adulteress. But we need to be aware as we look over these chapters that there are other forms of adultery as well, aren't there? And in fact, we may well be very innocent of physical adultery and have never given in to that temptation, but still have given in to other forms of adultery. And at this point, these chapters speak to all of us, no matter what our situation may be in life. James speaks of adultery with the world. In 1 John, We're told, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. We can commit adultery with the world by loving the world. Or we can commit adultery with other gods. That's the way the Old Testament so typically paints the picture of Israel. We're talking about spiritual adultery with the world's things, with the world's ways, its pleasures of self-indulgence that draw us away from Christ as our first love. For spiritual adultery is loving something or someone else before God. Maybe a job, maybe some sort of hobby or a pastime, some interest you have, maybe a relationship, maybe greed. It may be an idea that you just pursue passionately. But maybe it's entangled you and drawn you away from Christ. It's intoxicated you and captured you. If that is the case, then free yourself. Let it go. Drop it. That was Jesus' word to that rich young ruler, wasn't it? Sell all you have and give to the poor and come follow me. But he couldn't give up his adultery with wealth. Keep far from these adulteries, because they also lead to death. And so what is the heart of these chapters? Listen. Will you listen and take them seriously? Will you take seriously the word of the wise? Will you learn the wisdom which is the fear of the Lord and keep away from the adulteress who would draw you away with her smooth words? Let's pray. Father, please save us from adultery, whether physical or whether spiritual. Make us pure and faithful. If we're married, make us faithful to our spouse. If we are unmarried, please help us to remain chaste. And Father, we pray that for all of us, with so many allurements in the world, so many attractive good things, especially in this part of the world, that you would save us from spiritual adultery, loving the world more than we love you. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well,